We've gone through some hard passages in the book of Hebrews, and like so many of the New Testament books, the practical aspects that call upon us to do something are found at the very end of the book, such is the case in Hebrews. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13 is the only chapter out of 13 that gives any commands at all. And notice the command given in verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I want to focus on that this morning. This whole end of the chapter of 13 deals with the theme sacrifices. That's not an easy thing to talk about. You remember, we've already looked at two of those. In verse 16, verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. We were talking a few weeks ago about the sacrifice of suffering. Last week, we focused on verse 15, the sacrifice of praise. That one is a little bit unusual, but we looked at that. We talked about that. So what we want to do this morning is look at the third type of sacrifice, and it's found in verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I want to say that I had every policeman and policewoman that was here yesterday say something to me. It relates to the text. I didn't plan it this way, but it relates. Here's what I heard over and over again. Exact quote. Your people are wonderful. Now, I didn't say to them, they're not my people. So I don't mean that in some kind of ownership model. I mean it as he's talking about you that ministered here yesterday. They were overwhelmed. Overwhelmed that you would be willing to do good. And a lot of people do good. There's people all over that focus on doing good. We're known as a benevolent nation, doing good things for other nations when major calamities and catastrophes happen. But it's one thing to do good. It's another thing to do good in a sacrificial manner. So what I want us to look at this morning is couple of questions that relate to verse 16. And those questions are found this way. Why is God well pleased with such sacrifices of good? And that's the first question. I have one other one, but this question, I think, gives us a focus on who our God is. The ensemble group, it was a hymn. We sang together that little song, You Are Always Good, a Majesty Music song. I asked Brian to have it here. You are always good. Aren't you glad God is good? In fact, what do we say? God is good? All the time? Absolutely. God is good. God is good. So I want you to think about this aspect of why would God be so well pleased with good? And I noted a couple things here. First of all, because Jesus Christ's death is our perfect example. Notice in verse 12 of this chapter, we looked at this a while back, but wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made on our behalf. By the way, if you're here this morning and you don't know or you're exploring what Christianity is, it is captured right there in verse 12. Christianity is not about a building. It's not about a bunch of rituals. It's about It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was the very God-man. Brother Francine, could you please explain that? No, I cannot. But I can tell you that the Bible makes it clear he's very God sent from heaven. And he came to earth. And he lived in a human form. And when they put those nails in his wrists, and they put that crown of thorns on his head, and they thrust that spear into his side, he felt every pain that you and I would feel. Because he was human. What does it say there in verse 12? It says he did it to sanctify you and me. To sanctify us, to set us apart. To make us purified, to be holy. To be all that he wants us to be. And I wrote this down. We honor him when his sanctifying work is flushed out in our lives. When you and I are doing sacrificial things, good things, as it talked about in verse 16, we do show the significance of what Jesus did on our behalf. Would you agree? Absolutely, as a demonstration. Titus says it this way, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. When we do good works, Jesus' suffering and death demonstrates the power of God. The power of God. That's why it is so important for us to never lose sight of the gospel, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that we could have eternal life. And it ought to be the motivation that you and I do good. And I want to remind you, this is not just saying, hey, do good like some mediocre, easy thing. It's a sacrifice. We're talking about the kind of good that demands sacrifice from each and every one of us. Second thing, God is pleased, well pleased with such sacrifices because Jesus alone can be trusted. He is faithful. He never fails. Notice verse 5 and 6 of this chapter. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I love this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. When you and I are focusing on sacrificing to do good for others, we are demonstrating that our God can be trusted. You know, folks, we talk from time to time about giving, and we think of financially giving. And you know what, in that example, what God is wanting? He wants us to see, it's not because, he doesn't say, please give, I have needs. God has no needs. He doesn't need your money. You know what he does need? He does need to know that you trust him. That you can give a part of what God has allowed you to make and give it back to him through the local church, to missions, whatever the need might be. And you're able to prove that you can live in a way that you didn't lose out on anything. In fact, what happened was God blessed you abundantly. Aren't you grateful for that? Brother Scherbinski down here is the treasurer of our church. He has a little saying, give to get. To give to get. To give to get. To give to get. And the only problem you have is if you stop with get. Make sense? Now let's talk about something else. My real focus is not giving this morning. My real focus is, what about your time? What about your time? You know, the group sang Redeem the Time. Was that the title of the song? Redeem the Time. And we understand that's Bible. Redeem the time because the days are evil. You know, I've observed something in my life. And that is when I used to say, you know, I just don't have time to go out and share the gospel. I don't have time to do outreach. I don't have time to go to prayer meeting. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed when I've made those choices, it has really challenged my living. But when I say, I'm going to put God first, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. It's amazing how when you give, even of your time, God can allow your time to go much better. How many of you have experienced, you know what I'm talking about? I hope you have. I hope that's a reality in your life. Because what we're talking about here is we can trust God. We can give away our talent. We can give away our treasure. We can give away our time. And we can trust God that he's going to more than make it up to help us. To help us accomplish what we need to accomplish. You say, Brother Francine, you've already told us you couldn't explain how God could be both man and God. Could you explain how you could give it away and have more? No, I can't do that either. I'm sorry to say I'm bankrupt on how God functions in every detail. But you know what? If I could explain it all, I wouldn't be the pastor. I'd be God. Only God knows. And I'll tell you something, folks. God isn't a formula. Plug in this number and you get this. That's not what God is. And the problem we have is many times we want a formula. Brother Holland is down in New Mexico ministering to the Navajo Indians today. Just sent a long text to us. But he'll tell you that when he took his wife out before she died to a cancer center out in California, there were a lot of people coming and they were desiring to have, what's the formula? What's the secret? What's the way to be cured from cancer? And praise God for Christian doctors who said, there isn't a formula. It's all about what God wants, what he desires, and his plan for your life. That may not be what they wanted to hear, but that's absolute truth. That's absolute truth. Number three, why is sacrificial good well-pleasing to God? Because Jesus' life on earth was all good. You are always good. When I look at, go down to the end of the chapter. Look at verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a marvelous truth. God, going back to verse 16, our text, he wants us to do good. He wants us to communicate. And that word communicate there means not talking. It means benevolent acts. Benevolent acts. He wants us to constantly be doing good. And that brings me to the second question that I think is important. And that is, what does doing good look like in our lives? What does doing good sacrificially look like? Let me give you some scripture that gives us good insight on that. You don't have to turn to these, just listen. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I thought it was interesting that Psalm 37 talks about trust and doing good. We know what Hebrews says. We looked at it sometime back in chapter 11. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Doing good, doing benevolent things, is something that is well-pleasing to God. So Psalm 37 puts those together. Trust in the Lord and do good. Many times when you and I want to do good, it's not convenient. It's not easy. It's not simple. And what we have to do is we have to trust God. We have to put our trust in God that he will equip us to do what we're supposed to do. I got a a little bit of a, I guess I would say a chuckle out of reading a familiar passage in Matthew 25. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "When I was hungered, you gave me meat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, ye visited me. When I was in prison, you came unto me." And you remember, Jesus said, and here's what the righteous people said. Here's my chuckle. If I was one of those righteous people, I might say, "You know, God, I thank you for remembering all those nice things I did." Is that what God said? Is that what Jesus said? No, that's not what he said. He said, he didn't say, "You haven't done any of that for me." But he said, "When you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." You know, many times, sacrificially doing good is maybe I'll get something in return. But sacrificial good is not that at all. It's doing it to the least of these, my brethren, the ones that are maybe least likely to be able to return good. In fact, Luke says it this way: "Love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Aren't you glad God is kind to unthankful people? Amen. And I hope we're thinking about ourselves, how many times we live life without a grateful spirit. In Acts 9, the Bible talks about a lady named Tabitha. She also had a name, Dorcas. And you remember that woman was full of something. And it wasn't full of talk. It wasn't full of emotion. It was full of what? Do you remember? Good works. Good works. And alms deeds, which she did continually. That's what Hebrews 13:16 is talking about. What does it mean to do good sacrificially? It means that we go above and beyond ourselves. We do things that we don't think we can do by trusting God. It means we don't look for convenient seasons to do things that fit our schedule. Boy, isn't that a hard one? How many of you like to work off a schedule? And I don't believe the rest of you are telling me the truth. I'm not exactly calling you liars, but I think most people like a schedule. Why do we like a schedule? Because we love to be in control, don't we? We love to be in control of what we're doing. Know what we're doing. Boy, it makes you feel good. But you know, if you're going to be and do good sacrificially, according to Hebrews 13:16, it's not going to be about your time schedule. And you're going to find when you step out by faith and do good things, even when it's not convenient in your schedule, God will bless you immeasurably. I hope you've experienced that. Acts 10 says Jesus went about doing good. He's always good. Galatians says it this way: "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." 1 Thessalonians says this: "See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all." You know what doing good is? Doing good is when you feel like being vengeful or revengeful. When you feel like saying something sharp and unkind, sarcastic, mean-spirited, harsh, bitter-sounding, you bite your tongue. And you remember, as Chris was talking about there, what would the Spirit of God want? Not to render evil for evil. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
What? Good. We need to be doing good all the time, not in our own strength. By the way, if we try to do it in our own strength, we'll fail. But doing it in God's strength, we can do good things. That's why 2 Thessalonians says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." And I finish with 3 John 1. "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Did you notice in the verses? That was just a small scattering of verses. Did you notice how many of them contrasted evil and good? There were a bunch. And that really deals with this whole area of you and I focusing on what it says in Hebrews 13. "But to do good and to communicate," that means give to poor people, "forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." I believe you're sitting here this morning, and I don't know all of you, but I believe you want to please God. And based on Hebrews, we would say there are two things that clearly God says please Him: living by faith and doing good. So I want you to think about five things as I wrap up. These are not five more points. These are five concluding points, okay? Here they are. Our living by doing good works is showing that Jesus' death is proof He did not die in vain. We ought to be filled with good works. And our good works ought not to be to receive a pat on the back. They ought to be to glorify His name. How can I do good works? How can I do sacrificial things that are hard to do? I can do it because Jesus Christ did the ultimate good by dying on the cross for my sin, for your sin. You know what? When Hebrews uses this word sacrifice a lot here in chapter 13, our problem is, as Americans, we know little or nothing about real sacrifice. I'm talking about myself. I'm not pointing a finger at you. But I don't see here it says this is good for everybody but except those that live in America. No, this is for us. We need to learn how to be sacrificial in doing good. Why? Because we want to show forth that Jesus didn't die in vain. Number two, even as sinful creatures, God can be displayed through our lives. Aren't you grateful for that? You ever done some good thing, and all the time you were thinking, "I wish I wasn't here. Why do I have to do this?" In other words, my heart attitude wasn't in it. Aren't you glad that God can even use vessels like that? I'm not saying that's the way to go about doing good, by the way. But isn't it true that here we are, frail, easily tempted, sinful creatures, and yet God has called us to be ambassadors for good, doing good. A cup of cold water in Jesus' name is good. God is looking for us to manifest His name by being vessels of good to those around us. You want job security? Every day say this: "Lord, help me to find some people today that I can do good to. I guarantee you there will be those." And I don't say guarantee in a proud way. Every day we meet people. Do you realize, you that helped and prayed, how much good you did for the police department yesterday? You know what they want to know? They want to know that people walking up to the car, their car, don't have a gun to want to shoot them or yell at them. They want to know we're praying for them. I told every one of those people yesterday, this is not about Saturday October 6th, helping you out and hosting this event. I want you to know our church is praying for you every week. And I hope you are. They need it. Number three, not only is sacrificially doing good, pleasing to God, showing that he didn't die in vain, showing that God even uses sinful creatures like you and me. But the third thing I wrote down is, it is magnifying our need for God's grace. I'm not going to be a sacrificially good giver without God's grace. Because God gives us the desires and the power to do what he wants us to do. Number four, sacrificial service meets people's basic needs and never returns evil for evil to anyone. I had a difficult experience of late, and somebody was really negative. And, you know, I've learned that when people come at you with both barrels and they're pretty negative, there's always some measure of truth in the barrels. You know what I'm talking about? But I didn't want to take the gunfire. I wanted to return fire. Brother Francine, what'd you do? Well, I said a few wrong things. I had to apologize. But God is saying, if we're going to be well-pleasing to God, we are not going to return evil for evil. We're not going to look for ways to get even. We're not going to see if we can outdo somebody with our tongue. But we're going to do good. Isn't that sacrifice? Man, that's hard. In fact, it's impossible without God's grace. The last thing I wrote down. Sacrificial service demonstrates genuine salvation. That's what 3 John said. If you're not doing good, you really don't know who God is. You don't have a relationship with him. So I finish with this morning. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not asking you to evaluate your good in life, because God doesn't say, oh, your good outweighs your bad, therefore you're going to get to heaven. None of our good outweighs our bad. But I'm asking, have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Trusting one thing and one thing only. Jesus died for you personally. Jesus was buried and he rose again the 3rd day, praise God. Because he lives, we can live. We can trust the promise that there is a better place. Don't have to worry about sin in heaven. Don't have to worry about Supreme Court confirmations. Don't have to worry about guns and other problems that are all around us. And I know it's not guns, I know it's people. My point is that you and I have the privilege. We have the privilege to practice doing good every day. That's what it said. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. You know what he's saying? Don't ever forget it. As long as you've got breath, practice doing good. Practice doing good. Look for good. You know, one of the things we try to teach our young people at school is whenever they're at some kind of a activity, we're going out on a ministry chapel. Is it this week? Or no, it's a few weeks away. We're going out to Brother Holland's. Tony Holland is having our fall festival this year. And we're going to take our 7th through 12th graders out to help him with sprucing up the grounds and doing those kind of things. Some of you have done those kind of things before through school here. But One of the things we try to teach the young people is this. When you finish a job, you don't sit down. You go and say, what can I do next? What can I do next? I had several of you come and do that yesterday when I was here and we were trying to get set up and then when we were trying to clean up at the end. What's next, Pastor? What do you need? That's a manifestation of Hebrews 13, 16. Now the world says this, that's not my job. It's not on my job description. God says, every opportunity to do good is on your job description. Right? Are you with me? Brother Francine, I'm tired. I understand. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He can give us the strength even when we're tired to do good, can't he? I think so. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Would you purpose? This is my second invitation here, I guess. Would you purpose to please God even in a more significant way this week than you have in the past? I think this doing good here is not just, well, these are the good things I do, Pastor or God. Here's my list. I think it's looking for new things, new opportunities, new ways to do good. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that the ultimate sacrifice is not ours, it's you. And we can demonstrate and we can show forth that your sacrifice by dying for us, being buried and rising again, is not in vain. It's not empty. We are who we are. And we are frail. We are sinful. We are weak in many respects. But we're so grateful that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. I pray that you'd give all of us that strength, and you would give all of us that desire to do good and to communicate. Those that are poor and needy in spirit, poor and needy in physical needs, whatever it might be. So, Lord, you take this invitation time now. You minister to every heart. Help us to respond as you desire. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand together.